New York is just group therapy for an entire city. Yeah. Just everyone on the subway, at work, in the deli, everything. We've all got our issues. That lady is screaming. That guy's chasing a cat. You know, we've all got our little, he's in his pajamas in the middle of the day in the park. It's fine. We all forgive each other because we're nice people.
Hello, welcome to Overshare, a podcast where we have honest conversations with creative people we admire about the struggles that often come along with being a creative professional. In a world of carefully curated portfolio sites and Instagram feeds, we try to get past those highlights and discuss the tough stuff we don't talk about in public often enough. In this episode, you will learn that the key to creative freedom is really to just stop caring what other people think. And you'll also learn how to reframe your thinking when jealousy of other people's work or success inevitably creeps up. I'm your host, Justin Genak, and I'm also the co-founder of Working Not Working, a curated community that connects companies with the universe's most respected, most awarded, and hardest working creatives in advertising, design, production, and tech. Now, before we start, I need to ask you a huge favor. If you've listened to Overshare and enjoyed it, please take a minute right now to rate and review us, or if you want to wait till the end of the episode, that's great too, but it will earn you some good karma, and it goes a long way in helping other people discover the podcast. Also, subscribe to get new episodes when they're released every 2 weeks. Today's episode is with the incomparable John Bergerman. John is an artist and author whose ability to play is contagious and inspiring. Now, if you haven't seen John's work, go to the show notes right now and check out the links. His Instagram brings me so much joy on a daily basis, whether it's bringing every imaginable inanimate object to life with googly eyes in his Instagram stories, which is a bit of an affliction, as you'll hear in this episode, or with the characters he doodles. Everything he does makes me smile. The world he's created with his art through drawings and books and murals and animations and sculptures is one I would love to be immersed in. I have so much respect for how fearless and improvisational John is when he works. And I made the mistake of telling him that during my interview, so he thought it'd be a great idea to steal my prepared interview questions and make me adapt on the fly, which in hindsight, I really enjoyed and appreciated. I probably could use a bit more of that in my day-to-day. John lives by the motto, it's great to create, and his work is a reminder of the joy of creating. All of us had those skills to make and play as kids, and some of us were fortunate enough to not lose it. After listening to John, I think you'll have the motivation you need to stop caring what others think and start creating again. So please enjoy my conversation with John Bergerman. Would you like me to read your bio, or should we just skip all that?
Unless you've written your own...
If I freestyled your bio?
Yeah, because when you do these things, people just copy and paste the bio.
Oh, that's for sure what I did.
And everyone does it. It's not just you.
Okay.
I'm going to delete my bio. I'm deleting it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick of people. That's lazy. That's your work. That's what you're meant to be doing.
Yeah.
I shouldn't do your homework for you. You should research.
Fair. I'm going to say that John is one of my favorite destinations on the internet. Your Instagram stories have gotten next level. We'll talk about that more. I do first want to ask, how are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a bit sick of the summer. I don't want to say anything negative, but right. I really hate all this humidity. It's really horrible. But I'm just trying to keep a positive mindset.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it's making everyone's skin look good. And I'm sure I've like lost some calories through just sweating alone.
Yeah, we're super glossy.
It's like Bikram life.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good.
I remember today when I was preparing for this how we first met. Mm. Outside of the Whitney, the old Whitney,
mm-hmm.
Jeff Koons had a huge exhibit and he had a giant pile of Play-Doh that was like 15 feet tall. And I walk outside and I see this handsome young man selling miniature versions in plexiglass boxes. And I walked away and I came back and I said, actually, can I buy one of these? I had a project where I sold things in plexiglass boxes and it was New York City garbage. And you're like, oh, I know of that. And we have mutual friends. And then we chatted and now we've become buddies.
That's true. It's all true.
I still have it. It's dried up a bit.
Yes, there's no refunds.
Yeah, okay.
It was an experiential thing.
It was pretty amazing, though. It's great. We're going to start with some really easy questions. What's your favorite curse word?
Favorite curse word. I don't know. I don't have a favorite curse. I'm trying not to curse anymore.
Oh.
Like, that's the thing I'm giving up.
Wow.
I guess fuck is just okay. the best one. I don't know. It's a multi-purpose.
You got one more in you. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not very good
just
at that.
Just so you know, to honor you, I spelled favorite the way you would spell it.
Oh, there's
with
the
an
U.
O-U.
Oh, with the U. I like that. Thank you. What is your home now?
Your favorite color?
My favorite color is black.
Okay. I like it.
Oh, no. Wait. I meant to say yellow.
Yellow.
But actually, it's black.
Okay.
I like yellow very much as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Crossed eyes or googly eyes?
Googly eyes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get into more serious questions.
Serious than that?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
This is hard-hitting investigative journalism. Where are you from originally?
I am from... Wow, that's like a Trump question, isn't it? Jesus Christ. Fucking hell. Right, straight down to it. But where are you really from? My mum's tummy. I'm from England. I'm from Birmingham, in the middle of England. Okay. Yeah. Anyone from Birmingham in the middle of... No, get out of town. Fuck off. What?
Kings Norton.
Yeah, very good. Both of you. No, just you. Yeah. God, no. No, not me. Why are you here? What are you doing? Do they know you're missing? What?
Don't tell them.
Don't tell them. All right. Oh, you hear that accent?
No, I don't.
Say something else. Say I'm from Kings Norton.
Oh yeah. That's like that's a Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah, that's where Game of Thrones is set.
Yeah, Kings Norton.
Yeah.
So did you grow up in a creative household?
Sort of. My mum did study art, but she wasn't an artist. Okay. And my dad was a journalist, but he wasn't by the time I was born. So they had creative sort of aspirations that crashed and burned. By starting a family. Be warned. That's what might happen.
Wow, we really just had some dark cautionary tales happening here.
But, you know, life has been lightened by me and my brothers. But, yeah, my mum studied art at Central St. Martin's, briefly. Oh, okay. And my dad was a journalist in London, and he wrote topical things, and then he moved on to sports. And he wrote about football, which was probably like the happiest I imagine he was ever in his life.
Yeah. Are you a big football fan as well?
I like football, soccer, as you guys would say.
Yeah.
Just translating.
Yeah. Who's your team?
Tottenham Hotspur. Oh,
that's a good team.
Sorry. My dad is from London, so I've been brought up as a Spurs fan and hate Villa. Absolutely. No. I feel sorry for Villa now. They're in the lower leagues.
Oh, okay.
I feel sorry for you. How patronizing.
We should just actually turn this into 45 minutes of soccer talk.
That's it. That's all I have.
Okay.
But
so how many brothers did you have?
I have an older one and a younger one.
Okay.
That's
so
two.
Do you think being I'm always interested by family dynamics and where you. So I'm the oldest of eight.
What?
But two different households. So
whoa,
yeah, it's so like divorce and like, you know. Love.
You're the old. How young is the youngest?
13 years younger than me. Yeah. It's a good gap.
Yeah.
But like, what's the dynamic with you and your brothers? Are you you guys close or ish?
Ish. I'm quite close with my younger brother.
Okay.
I know my older brother.
Yeah, you've heard of him.
But I'm sort of, I don't know, kind of better friends with my younger brother.
Yeah. And then were you guys all kind of artistic as kids or?
No, they're really smart. They're really, really smart. Like my older brother, super smart. He did his exams early, or some of, and then he did them when the other kids had caught up to him. He was doing like higher versions that they invented just for him to keep him busy.
Wow!
And then my younger brother is also really, really smart as well. I'm the dumb one. But they're also kind of artistic. But they're so smart they don't need to be artistic anymore.
Yeah,
they can get by on their smarts.
That sounds less fun though.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you play to your strengths, right?
Yeah, you got to go with what you know.
So when you were a kid, were you an introvert, extrovert?
A little bit introverted. I'm a little bit introverted still, I would say.
And then were you a big doodler as a child?
Yes, I liked drawing a lot, and I liked art, and that was my favorite subject at school.
Yeah.
So the whole week was like, oh, when can it be art? And then, yay, one lesson of art a week.
Then
one lesson of art every 2 weeks. Uh-huh. And then, oh, God. But then, university, art 24/7. Yay, that's
it's
amazing.
It's like your dream come true.
It was.
Where'd you go?
I studied in Nottingham. Anyone from... Anyway, it was kind of... It's near to Birmingham. But I studied fine art there, and that was like a really great 3 years of just making stuff and not worrying about what it was or anything.
Yeah. And what did you do once you got out of school?
I panicked a little. I stayed in Nottingham. So, like, the temptation was to move to London. Like, a lot of my peers would move down to London. But then it's much more expensive to live there. So then they had to get jobs and stuff. So I thought, I don't want to get a job. So I stayed. I did have a part-time job, but...
What was the part-time job?
It's kind of... it's not really a design job, but it was kind of artworking. I worked for a bag and packaging company. Yeah. And the plastic bags and paper bags and things, not unlike this. And then, you know, like a shop would put its logo and stuff on there? I would be the one that would open the CD and like drag the logo file onto the Quark Express sort of layout, sorry, of the bag. And then I would type out the address and put it in the gusset. That's the side bit. I know that's also part of underwear, but it's not in the bag. And then I would burn a CD and put it in a little envelope, yeah, yeah. And it would get sent to China. And then, like, 16 weeks later, there would be a phone call, and the ship would have docked with, you know, yeah, 50,000 bags
that you
in a pallet
expertly designed.
That I did the, yeah, design of or layout, and there'd be a spelling mistake. And then I'd be like, wait a minute, and I would open up the Quark Express file, yeah, and I'd be like, yeah, all right, it might be my fault. And it was terrible.
Yeah.
That's what I started doing. Yeah.
And then you were just like, screw it, I'm going to be an illustrator.
Well, sort of. Not quite. I did that while I was a student, and then I did it for a little bit after I graduated. But during that time, my other work started to pick up. But you've got to remember, I studied fine art. Right. So I had no idea you could make money drawing pictures and selling them or licensing them.
How'd you figure that out?
Someone from an ad company called me or emailed me, and they said, we've seen your work and we want to, can you draw on something for a denim brand?
So back then,
yeah,
and I know like we're similar ages.
It's a long
ages.
Time ago.
Yeah, we're similar ages.
It's a long, long time
ago. As soon as you start talking about Quark Express, you know you're plus 35.
That was inferred, yeah, by burning a CD and putting, yeah, it in the mail.
Yeah.
That I wanted to paint a picture of a horse-drawn carriage taking the CD to China. And yeah.
It's exactly what it was like in the olden days, guys.
So this is in 2001, too.
2001, yeah. Okay. And so then how did they come across your work?
Because I was putting, some of you may have found, I put a little sticker on your seat. Did everyone get a sticker? So I was making these stickers, and I was hand-cutting them out with a pair of scissors, and I was going down to London, and I was sticking them on, like, lampposts and things. I'm trying actually to hide them a little bit, so it'd be something you'd, like, find by chance.
Like in unexpected spots.
Yeah, yeah. But some people found them, and apparently there was a big thing happening with stickers and street art. I was completely oblivious to.
Yeah.
And so what happened, someone phoned me up and said, can we put your sticker in a book about street art stickers? And I said, sure.
Yeah.
And that happened, and I went down to London for this launch, and I met all these artists, and they were all street artists, and graffiti artists, and sticker artists. And I thought, oh, wow, that's so cool. And then someone asked me at that thing, like, yeah, man, do you write? And I was like, well, some like poems and things, you know, like kind of when I'm a bit sad. He was, yeah, like, no, like graffiti, what's your tag? I was, yeah, like, I don't know, John. And then, so that book came out, yeah, and it's a really great book. It's called Stick 'Em Up, and I think it was the first like street art sticker book. And an ad company got hold of this book, because I guess in the old days before Instagram, people would buy books and things to look at what were like
cool, sure, yeah,
cool images.
Yeah.
Now they just do it on the toilet, and they, like scroll like that. And maybe they're reading the books on the toilet, I don't know. But I had the impression that an ad company would buy like whatever the new creative books each month or each week. So they went through it and they picked a bunch of people and they said, can we pay you a lot of money to draw something on the leverette patch on the back of the, like an A0 size one, so like as big as that TV. Wow. And I was like, all right, what? And they were like, oh, we're going to pay you. I was like, oh, that's good. And then we want to pay you usage to use it. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but sure. And then they said, and then we want to own, like, we want to keep it. I was like, well, it's kind of yours anyway, isn't it? So we're going to pay you again. I was like, oh, wow. And I was writing this down on a little post-it note at work, and we want you to do four of them. And I resigned. And that's kind of what happened.
And then from that one gig, did it lead to more? Or
I told myself if I could do this once a year, I'd be I had very low expectations. But if I could do this once a year, it would be amazing. Yeah. And I could live on that because I was living very frugally. So
That's all you needed.
Yeah, that's all I needed. It was amazing. I met, so some of those people that also did that project, I met, through the things and stuff. And they went on holiday and they bought a big TV and all that kind of stuff. But then they still had jobs. So I was like, oh, yeah, I've done the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so you've never had another full-time job since then?
That was it. Yeah, I've never had a real job since then.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's impressive.
It is. That is my...
So basically 2001, 2002 to now.
Depending if the UK tax office is listening to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, around 2003 or 2004, I became self-employed.
That's amazing.
No. And then, don't anyone tell the...
In UK tax office. No, you're fine. You're here. they don't listen to this. I've seen you describe yourself as a doodler.
Mm.
Why is that?
Well... It's kind of what I do, mm-hmm. but back in the day when my work started to gain a little bit of momentum and stuff, people would ask me what it is that you do, and I said, oh, I studied fine art, but the work that I make doesn't really look like traditional fine art things, and I started to do much broader things, so they were like, well, what is it? And I'm a little self-deprecating, so I said, oh, it's just doodles and just doodling, don't worry about it. So it was a means of sort of pushing
deflecting,
away. Deflecting. But then it stuck. Mm-hmm. And then I embraced it. And now I'm trying to shed it. Not really, but like...
But there's probably other things you want to do where... I've seen you've dived back into doing some fine art to an extent.
Like for me, doodling... Like people think doodling is just when you're absent-mindedly drawing and being distracted. And it is that. Of course, but for me, when I say I doodle, it's that kind of thinking and making at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of what I'm doing, and I'm kind of making it, and as I'm making it, my idea of what the thing is starting to change, because I'm seeing a change. Oh, no, the paint's not going, I'm going to have to do it like this, or the video, I don't know how to do that. So it's like a process where you're improvising as you're making.
Yeah.
So you can doodle beyond drawing. It doesn't have to. You can doodle with music. That's an example of music for you, in case you're unaware. But you can doodle with anything, right? It's just kind of making it up as you go along, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So, it's the improvisation.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you have you found that it's hard to gain credibility as a doodler?
Yeah, that's why I want you to stop calling it.
All right, so esteemed fine artist John Bergerman.
No, I don't mind. I don't care. But for some people, of course, and why wouldn't they? If you say I'm a doodler, they think you're just some schmo that's
on a sketch and a notebook.
Yeah, yeah. One of those in the art store where you can test the pen.
Yeah.
Like you're the kind of guy that stands there all afternoon, just dribble and.
And then when you tell them your rate to do a mural, they're like, I thought you were a doodler.
Yeah. So I mean that's it. It kind of gives a different impression for people that have, yeah. So it's understandable. That's understandable. So it's kind of, it's been okay. But yeah, over the years, some people have sort of thought.
A little bit of resistance.
A little bit.
Yeah. But it seems like your process is very free and without fear. It comes across that way. I'm going to have my impression of it. Mm. But it seems like watching you draw is like watching a kid draw. And we usually... society or parents kind of beat that out of kids, not physically, but like, there's those moments. Like, so I had a project in college where I wanted to take my little brother's drawings and turn them into paintings. And so I gave them an assignment and I said, draw something you like, draw something, picture of us, a naked woman, because I was in art school. And my 4-year-old brother, no problem, was brilliant.
Number is he?
Number 75, yeah. And then my 6-year-old brother was struggling a little bit, but still was able to do it. My 8-year-old brother couldn't do it at all because he wanted to be perfect. And so I think there's a moment with many or most people where that freedom of expression is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to keep that from happening to you?
Just don't care.
Like, were you always someone who just didn't care?
I mean, I'm not that good, right? So if you try and be perfect all the time and you fuck it up, then after the millionth time, you're like, I just this is gonna, like, perfect enough. Yeah. So yeah, and like, life moves on, and you don't, not, I mean, it's just, I can't do those things, so why worry about it?
But were you always someone, like, is this a practice that continued from when
is
you were
you
kid?
Is this you miming how
is
I draw?
How you draw, yeah.
Just winding down a window in a car.
But is that something is that continued from when you were a kid and has always been there, or is it something you picked up again?
Like you said, like, when you're a kid, you don't care.
You don't give a shit.
I don't really remember. And like, some kid could draw an airplane. Oh my God, he can draw airplanes. How do you do it? Oh, you do it like that. Oh yeah, now I can draw airplanes. It's like, everything is a discovery. It's super exciting. Propellers, motors, wheels, guy on a skateboard. And you don't care because it's just like a new trick and stuff. And then, yeah, maybe when you go to art school and then you believe there's a pressure to make things look as exactly as they are. And so that's why it was good doing fine art. Because there's a lot of conceptual art, and it doesn't really matter what thing exactly, how finished they are, unless it is important. Like, does this thing need to be super, super polished because that's part of what you're trying to say with it? Yeah. If not, then it's not important. And for what I'm trying to do, it isn't. So I'm trying to be funny or entertain or delight or just be colorful. So it doesn't need to, the thing, whatever the thing is, doesn't need to be that polished and perfect. For some people it does, but for me it wasn't important. And as you well know, like, keep it simple. Like, just get people to the thing as quickly as possible. So why wow them with my technical prowess, which doesn't exist? Just get straight to the googly eyes on a piece of fruit. That's what they've come for. So, you know.
That sounds about right. That's great. Was there ever a point where your style either wasn't as free or kind of something different? Like, I went back into your Instagram and I scrolled all the way down.
Whoa.
663 posts.
Is that really?
Or 64,
many?
Yeah.
Nearly 666.
It was, nearly 666. And then it was like 2012, and your style still felt like you, but it was very different. You were doing some kind of playful portraits and all that, which you still occasionally do now, which I really love when you do that. But it wasn't what it is now. So, like, has there been any other points where, like, how long did it take you to get to where you are now, where you feel like you're, I don't know.
It's taken me 39 years to get right here.
Yeah. But have you felt like your style in the past few years, it seems like it's really found its voice?
I don't know. I always feel I'm on the cusp of that. And then in a blink of an eye, several years go past and you realize, oh no, now it's at that thing. And I think that's the best way to be, to feel like you're almost on that thing. I think once you reach that plateau and you're like, oh, I've made it, I know exactly what I'm doing. For me anyway, that's when I make a mistake or it all goes bad. So things have changed over the years, and like opportunities to work have changed, and materials have changed, and I've tried to embrace those things.
Well, it seems like you really push yourself to find new materials and new maybe challenges and parameters.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, before I moved to the US, I'd been working for nearly 10 years, I guess, and I just didn't like want to redo that. I could have continued to draw the same things at the same, but it's like, why bother? Yeah. So, yeah.
I feel like, have there been moments that have been kind of pivotal to change or catapult your style how you look at your work?
Well, moving to live in New York was obviously a big change, like lifestyle change. I don't know about my style. I really try not to emulate anyone. I really don't want to. I mean, I love a lot of different artists' stuff, but I don't want to be them. I'd rather be a musician or a football player or a Ghostbuster or something. You know, like, those were my ambitions growing up. But I don't want to I'm on my own. You're only on like a voyage of your own thing, because I can only do the things that physically, mentally, I'm capable of. But I don't want to push it just a little further each time.
And has there been a point where you've felt the need to try to emulate or be something else? Like,
not really. I try not to. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, to try and pretend like, oh, why don't you make work like so-and-so? Because they're really popular. No, that's not a good idea. Yeah. So my tutor in foundation, which is the year you do before university, in 1998, he said, never follow the trends. So this is back then when I didn't even know what the trends are, you know. He was like, just got to do your own thing and just keep doing that, and eventually maybe things will catch up to you, or you'll be in the right place at the right time. But like, if you're following stuff, you're always going to be behind.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might be fine for a lot of people, but I don't, it's not interesting. If someone else is doing exactly what I'm doing, why would I do it? They'll probably be better than me, so I'll just do something else.
Yeah. Well, it feels like it takes a lot of...
positive mindset.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. They could do it way better. It's fine. But it seems like it takes a lot of courage. Like, I watch you work and other people who are just able to stand in front of an audience, draw in front of them, and it's my gesturing again for the podcast audience. But be able to do that, and I don't know if I would have the courage to do that. The to be able to put a mark down in front of people. And it seems like the improvisation, maybe you embrace it in a way that, and who you are in a way that I would find difficult to do.
You see, if you have a plan, then, you know, plans can go wrong. You can deviate from the plan. You can make a mistake.
But I'm a control freak.
But if you don't have a plan, if you don't have your question, then, like, who knows what's going to happen? Isn't that much more exciting?
Yeah, go ahead, throw them away.
I'm scared to do that.
Oh, put them back here.
You might beat me up.
No, it's fine. Put them wherever you want.
I'll put them in my bag. I was going to do some drawing, actually.
All right, cool.
All right. Should I draw on them?
Yeah, draw on them. Draw my questions. I think this is good. So
I'll draw your portrait.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Are you sure you don't want them? I feel a bit bad.
No, I think I'm going to be fine.
Before we started this thing, we were in that little room discussing the importance of preparing and having questions to hand. And Justin recounted a story of when he didn't have pre-prepared questions and how it was a really terrible experience and it didn't go so well. And I was like, well, you did the right thing today preparing. You should always prepare.
No, let's improvise.
All right, where are we? So, John, do you... Yeah, go.
You ask yourself the next question on there stands out, and then I'll take it from there after that.
No, you should do it. I can't do it. It's bad.
No, we're good. All right, I want to know about your characters that you draw. Take it. Does each one have a backstory to you?
Oh, not really. I mean, they develop them over time.
Okay.
So a character is just a little drawing, and then that's all it is. But then if you, like, color it in and actually become a sticker, that's a really big deal in my character world.
They've made it.
That's like their upper level. That means they've not been destroyed by the page being turned in the sketchbook for all time and never being seen again.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
So as you're going through this process, sometimes characters stand out.
Yeah. Sometimes they stand out, and then they become stickers, or they become flyers and things, or like artworks and stuff. And they might live a little... And someone might say, oh, I really like this guy.
Uh-huh.
What's his name? And I'll go, Clive. His name's Clive.
Clearly, yeah.
And they'll go, oh, yeah, he's great. He should be on a T-shirt. And then maybe, like, 6 months later, someone goes, we would like to make a T-shirt. And I'm like, Clive. And then he becomes a thing.
Uh-huh.
And the highest peak of any of my, like, that my characters can, like, they can become toys or, like, on clothing or stuff like that, or in a mural or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then they become something.
So what's the longest a character has stuck with you?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, probably
about 10
years.
Do you have one that, like, comes to your mind, and you're like, oh, Clive is my homie?
No, well, I'm very lazy. Okay. So I've been redrawing, like, a little pizza guy a lot. I'm trying to broaden...
You have a new book about how to eat pizza?
Yeah, I've got a book called How to Eat Pizza. It's a children's book. Children are great.
Yeah.
They should definitely learn to read. It's called How to Eat Pizza. So I've been drawing pizzas a lot. Actually, since I came to New York, I...
It's a very New York thing, yeah.
Yeah, I discovered how cool pizza is. Because in the UK... Is that you? Where's the UK guy?
No, what? He's over it.
He's gone?
He flew back home. He went to get a beer.
So British. In the UK, as I'm sure my friend would agree, that pizza is a bit shit.
Yeah.
It's like the pizza restaurants aren't very interesting and stuff. But when I came to New York, about a year, in the first year of living here, I was at an art thing, exhibition opening, and someone ordered a pizza. And you know in Pulp Fiction when they open the suitcase and it's all like gold on the... Someone did open this giant pizza. I'd never seen a pizza that big before. They opened this thing and it was just, the whole room was bathed in this beautiful amber golden light and the beautiful smell of cheese and tomato and the fresh dough. And someone gave me a slice and I took a bite and I burnt the roof of my mouth. And it was very painful. They were like, don't eat it yet. Savor it. And it was amazing. And I had a total revelation. And I was like, pizza is my thing now. Pizza is amazing. I love pizza. I want pizza now.
And then you draw pizza all the time.
And
now.
So I draw pizza a lot. Pizza and little hot dog guy. Like, I redraw the really easy to draw characters.
Yeah. Because you're lazy.
Because I'm lazy and I don't have a great memory. So.
Okay. Is it for you? Everything, it seems like from following, how many people follow John on Instagram? So
wait. Okay.
We're going to count.
Everyone the hands down.
Please. You need to. At John Bergerman.
I've had a lot of trouble recently. There's people. I think there's a lot of bots. I don't know what's happening. But we need to plug the gaps in my following count.
You will not be sad that you did. I feel like your Instagram story game was already amazing. So you would draw characters and then have them interacting with the scenes in the video
You're doing,
which is great.
Yeah.
And then I think as soon as the GIFs, I say GIFs, GIFs is wrong. As soon as the GIFs got into Instagram stories.
Wait, how can you say GIFs? What's the first letter of the word? Just say me. Tell me the first letter.
G.
Okay. And what's the next letter?
I.
So what would that spell?
G.
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 And what's the last letter?
F.
So put it all together?
GIFs.
No.
So I saw the guy at the who invented it at the Webby's, and he said it's GIF, not GIF. So let's end a debate.
It's bullshit.
we'll just debate that the rest of the time. So, but since they have, GIFs from Giphy, you put a bunch of stickers in there of your work, and you've been able to take your work from almost static with a live background to be animated with a live background. And I feel like you find characters in everything that you come across. And we were talking about it at the snack tray with the
Love
carrots
snack
and all
tray.
That. Snack that tray was an amazing.
Who was at the snack tray?
Anybody have the snack tray upstairs?
That was a great
Someone
snack
double
tray.
Dipped.
Who double cool. dipped? All right, no double dipping next time.
Next time. But at the snack tray, I said, I can't help but look at this standing next to you and see eyes on everything, like every carrot, every piece of cheese, and you said it's a problem.
It is a problem.
Yeah.
Because it started off as a gag. Like everything in my life, I'm a doodler, right? It's all a gag, right?
Yeah.
And then it turns on me. And then it becomes a problem, and you're really drunk, and you're walking home, and everything has a face. And you're on the subway, and some guy's bottom that you're staring at has a face, and the bag has a face, and the door has a face, and the trash bags, those black trash bags. Yeah. Rubbish bags on the street, they have faces. And the snow, it's awful when it snows. When it snows, there are faces in the puddles. When the snow gets a little dark and grubby and dirty, that's amazing. It has faces everywhere. The clouds. I can't enjoy anything anymore.
I'm imagining now this has turned into a thriller, and it's like your nightmare is faces everywhere.
It's really weird. It's really weird because sometimes you feel you can. Like when I'm making those little videos, you feel you can turn it on. Mm-hmm. Like something in your head. Mm-hmm. If you imagine something hard enough, you can make yourself see it.
Like a sheep's bottom.
Yes.
With eyes on it.
Yes.
And it looked like a little face.
Yeah.
And it's one of my
it's
favorite
like
videos.
When it's like when you're walking behind someone in the street. Mm-hmm. And they're wearing like some kind of cloth on their body. Uh-huh. And you're like, can I see through that? Can I? And you're like, can I see their underwear? And you're like, I'm not sure I can. But then you're like, you're staring. Maybe I can, just say. And then you're not sure if you're really, I mean, this doesn't perhaps paint me in the best light. But you think maybe I can see it, maybe I can't. But you can imagine it. You can see it there. Maybe it's just a tiny little shadow or a fraction of the light and it suggests something.
You convince yourself.
Yeah. And the same can happen with googly eyes on any kind of inanimate object or backside of an animal. So, which is great fun when I first discovered it. And I went crazy making lots of videos and things. But yeah, it gets a little overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah,
it can be difficult.
I used to give assign genders to every letter and number. Ooh. Like it's so distinct in my head what gender and I was trying to figure out why that is, and now I think it's from Sesame Street. because all of them had characters and all that. But your work reminds me a lot of that.
I try and keep my work as genderless as possible.
Yeah.
I don't want to project too much into the thing. I think the suggesting it's a character is just about enough.
It's enough.
And
then
it's fun for other people to then imagine the things.
Yeah. Well, how important is playing for you? You want to show them the?
Do you want to see? I was going to give you back your questions.
No, I don't need them.
This is my little drawing of Justin. Is that okay? Is that rude?
No, it's.
You don't look very happy.
Not GIF. Well, it was in the heat of the moment of that debate about GIFs and GIFs. I was a little distraught. So that's an accurate portrait.
I'll give you
Thank
a
you.
Picture back.
That's going to get framed and put on my wall. Thank you.
All right, sorry.
Sometimes
people, I do this. Sometimes I do an event where I draw people and they draw me, but only for 60 seconds. And you can tell they want to do it because they think they're going to get a work of art.
Yeah.
And once in a while, I'll go, wow, that's kind of good. And people are like, oh, look, it's great. I'm going to frame that. But always, in every session, there's always one or two people who are like...
Severely offended.
Yeah, and then they're like, thanks. And they kind of screw up the piece. And, all right, I'll take that home. And they do that. Sorry.
So you have to worry about people's feelings.
I do. I don't want to upset anyone.
How important is playing to you? No,
I'll give it you back.
All right, we're good.
Play is important. It's important for everyone. You got to mess around. You got to see what happens. If you know, it's about testing things, right? Testing the boundaries of what things can do and stuff. And yeah, it's an important thing. Yeah. There are many good books about play.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have favorites?
I read one recently called, I think it's called Play Anything or Play Everything.
Okay.
It was really cool. It was really interesting. Like why we play, why it's important, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
You seem very prolific. Do you have any moments or periods of time where you're just like, I can't do this?
Yeah. In the mornings when I wake up.
Really? Because you like sleeping?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about how much we both love sleep.
I like sleep, but I'm not very good at it.
Oh, okay.
So I don't sleep always very well.
Yeah,
I feel anxious and nervous and inferior most of the time.
Who else feels anxious and inferior most of the time?
This is just like therapy.
Yeah, it's us. It's all of us.
See, it's normal. But here's
it's normal.
The thing.
But people don't talk about that shit. People, like, you look at everyone's Instagram, and, like, John's got all these followers, and everyone, like, I saw someone tonight, and they're like, it seems like your life is so fun. And I'm like, it's because I only post the highlights once a week. It's like there's six other days that
kind of suck.
It's
very important not to, you can't believe anything online, you know, so, like, anything, really.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you've got to take it with a pinch of salt. I don't know if that's the saying over here.
Yeah, no, that still is, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do in those moments where you're just not feeling it?
I just try and... There's no magic wand. You just got to remember. I think that's one of the great things about living in New York is you realize as you meet more people and become friends, you know, everyone is mental. Everyone is bananas. Everyone is crazy. Like, everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And then, so it's fine. That's why New York is just group therapy for an entire city.
Yeah.
Just everyone on the subway, at work, in the deli, everything. We've all got our issues. That lady is screaming. That guy's chasing a cat. You know, we've all got our little, he's in his pajamas in the middle of the day in the park. It's fine. We all forgive each other because we're nice people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same for everyone.
That's a really nice sentiment.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Kind of got me a little bit. So let's remember the rest of my questions. I don't need them. Yeah, I don't need them.
Do you believe in Jesus?
If the last half of my questions were all being evangelist. Is there anyone who makes you jealous?
What? Who said that? Who makes you jealous? Your own self. That's a bit of a cop-out.
Yeah.
What? How do you make yourself jealous? Are you like looking at yourself in a mirror going, I wish I was that guy. He's got it all down. Look at him. Everything's inverted. God, if only I was inverted like him. Oh, well, maybe I'm turning around to the idea. Ambulances would... Wait, no, wait. They would read... No, it doesn't make sense. I don't know. No, jealousy is a sin. I'm jealous when I leave my studio is in Greenpoint, and I walk home. I'm jealous of all the attractive people. It's like I've been in there working all day, yeah. And there's all these people, and they're already out there, and they're smiling, and they're walking, and they're going to a restaurant, and I'm a bit like, what? How's that? I thought we were all at work. So I'm jealous of those people.
Yeah, okay, all
right. It's important not to be jealous.
Yeah. Do you have a nemesis? Oh, you laugh because you seem like you do.
Of course I do. No.
Who is it?
Who would be my nemesis? Is that like, does a nemesis have to be like the opposite of you but evil? Is that it's like a doppelganger?
Or just someone that you pit yourself against?
Well, there's lots of creative people I look at and I think, gee, I wish I was like them. But I wouldn't call them my nemesis or nemesi. Is that the plural?
There's nobody you want to take down.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's some, political things that could be shifted around a little, I feel. There's some room for improvement in that sphere.
Yeah.
But not creatively. I mean, what can you do? Like, you can only be as good as you, right? So you can't be too... It's very human to feel it, but you shouldn't be too jealous about other people's stuff. Because they're doing their thing. I always tell myself, all right, they're doing these amazing things. They're really great. They've got, like, 10 million things, thumbs. 10 million thumbs, so they're good.
Thumbs ups.
And then like, but okay, John, you can have all of that, but you have to be them, and you have to eat what they eat, and kiss who they kiss, and sit on the toilet and be them. Would you do it? And I always say no. Always.
Yeah.
I don't want to be someone else.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good way to look, because I think it's easy to try to be other people. Yeah. Or at least compare yourself and all that.
I mean, it's normal to compare.
I think you're
yourself.
Holding on to that paper as if you're going to ask the questions. Yeah, No, I don't need them. We're good. That was the intro. We're way past that.
All right.
Do you ever feel like your ambition gets in the way of your happiness?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I think that relates to your previous question, because you kind of you compare yourself to other people, and you're like, why? Because they're doing something you want to do. And why haven't you done it? And so that's kind of ambition, isn't it? And then that makes you feel a bit because you judge yourself and then you think you're not as you've not done those things, and then you feel bad, and you're doing it to yourself. It's like that Radiohead song.
I don't listen to Radiohead, but I've heard of them
in the late 90s.
I have terrible music taste.
Oh really?
It's only rap music and Billy Joel.
Oh, that's. I read a tweet. Did you tweet that? Someone tweeted that America thinks it likes rock music because it likes Billy Joel, but actually it likes show tunes. Is that right?
That sounds about right.
Have you seen him live at Madison Square?
Yeah, like a month ago, and I was right in front of the stage, and it was like the best thing in my life.
Oh, that's cool. It's just good times.
Yeah, it's good times.
Yeah.
Now I got to think of my...
Now. You're looking.
No,
you're trying
I'm not
to
looking.
Read it. You're trying to read it upside down.
No, all right, fine. I'm not going to do that.
No, you can do it.
No, we're good. We're totally terrible. Good. How do you...
I warn you...
What is success to you?
Okay, someone told me I was... Are you looking at your watch?
Just to make sure we're on time. We're
all
good.
Right. Yeah. Someone told me... I have this guy. I was recently back in the UK, and my friend said, what's... I was like, oh, yeah, no one's paying me. I haven't got no money. I hate my life. And then I said, but what is success? What is success? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And they were like, what is success? We are fed an idea that it's just accruing more of everything. But that's not true. That's not true. I don't think so. For me, honestly, it's having autonomy and control and feeling content, like doing stuff. And I honestly don't need a lot to feel happy. Like just some paper and pens. I'm already a level happier than I was before the paper and pens. Yeah. I don't really want for a lot of stuff. But yeah, it's easy to get mired in the capitalist pursuit of everything. Because we're told these guys are successful because they have lots of money. But they might have terrible family lives or no families or no friends because all they've... I read a thing about Murakami, the painter, Superflat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, he's pretty successful, very, very successful.
He's doing all right.
Yeah, and I read this big, long article about him, and he sleeps on the floor in his, studio because he has to be there so late and get up so late. I'm sure he has a good time because that's what
people
he wants to do.
Waiting for his work. Yeah,
he's making... Obviously, he's made that decision, but to me... I was like, would I trade my life? Would I want to be as successful as him? Sure. But do I want to do the things that he has to do to maintain that success? No. So, therefore, maybe I don't like my...
That's a nice, like, internal checks and balances. Because I think it's easy to go and be like, oh, I want that. But then asking you that question...
There's a compromise for everything. Or you can't have it all. So you can have all this stuff, but that means you can't have time for that stuff. It's very, very difficult. And why do, like, movie stars and pop stars and people who seemingly become very successful very quickly, why do they go a bit crazy? Because, you know... They've had
to
compromise
have their
on
anymore.
Things.
Yeah. They don't have their friends. They don't have anonymity.
I watched that Amy Winehouse documentary. Have you seen that?
I haven't yet.
You cry all the way. You cry because you know what's going to happen. And I wasn't a big Amy Winehouse fan.
Spoiler alert, I don't know what's going to happen.
But then as it gets, and you cry, what a terrible waste of talent, right?
Awful.
And she, towards the end of the documentary, says... You know, I'm a pretty good singer, right? And someone goes, yeah, you're really good. She's like, I'd give it all up to just be able to walk down the street unmolested, unpestered. Wow.
Yeah, that's sad.
So hang on to your privacy.
Yeah.
Because that's a massive luxury. That's success. Going and doing whatever you want and accidentally walking around with your fly open and no one knows and it's not on the front.
And no one's taking a photo.
It's not on a website. You can make mistakes and then your friends can forgive you. If you're really successful, if you make a mistake, it can destroy your life.
Yeah.
You know, there's no forgiveness in that world. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about really successful. I'm always fascinated when I talk to people who have big Instagram followings. I know. Do you feel a pressure to create for an audience now?
No. It's an awful thing. It's a terrible thing. I can't wait. Wait a minute. Does anyone here work for Instagram or Facebook or any of their affiliates?
No.
Okay, let me ask this to the podcast audience. Does anyone listening now work for Facebook? Can you just dim the volume?
Yeah.
Don't really like it. I mean, it's a terrible thing. It's stupid. I mean, I love the platform. I love being able to make stuff and share stuff with people. Don't get me wrong. I love that. I think that's incredible. I get messages from people all over the world who respond to my work. How amazing is that?
Tattoos of your work.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's okay. that I make something and someone here finds it funny and someone in the Middle East finds it funny and someone in the Far East finds it. Like, that's incredible, right?
Yeah.
That's real, life-affirming, beautiful, funny stuff. That part of it is a godsend. That's a beautiful gift, right? But all this, like, metrics of how popular you are and everything, that's a horrible thing.
So you want
thing.
Instagram without the numbers?
Take away the numbers. Wouldn't we all like the numbers just to disappear? Yeah? Wouldn't that be a godsend?
I thought, like, it's kind of fucked up because creativity has a scorecard now. And
it doesn't, but people assign that to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could have 1,000 followers and I look at someone else that's doing something similar, they have 5,000 or 50,000 or 100,000, and you're constantly feeling less than.
It's a terrible thing.
Like Jack Dorsey testified in front of Congress yesterday, I think it was, and he said, at the beginning, we made the number of followers really big and bold and all that. And he's like, maybe that's not the metric we should be paying attention to. And how popular you are and how many followers you have. But like all of these networks, it's all about how many followers you have.
You should ask, how many real good friends do you have? Like real good friends. You're in trouble. You need to get bail. Who do you call? Do you call one of your followers on the internet? Or
yeah.
I'm not saying they can't be your friends.
All right, I want to know how many real good friends do you have?
Like 5.
Yeah.
1,000.
But I think there is something. It's keeping it all in perspective.
Yeah, we get more insular into this little world. I'm as guilty as anyone else. So, like, you know, don't get me wrong. But isn't it a shame? Isn't it a weird thing?
Well, it's weird to have something external being a pressure on what we feel internally or what we do like with our work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
so.
It's
fuck all that shit.
We shouldn't get too wrapped up in it. Well, imagine like Picasso, zombie Picasso, gets up out of his grave, starts Instagram tomorrow.
Yeah.
How many followers is he gonna have? Right,
four, five.
Yeah. He's Picasso. He should have a gazillion, right? He's never gonna have as much as a celebrity, right? As like a pop star lady. I don't know.
Yeah.
One
Kardashian.
Yes. One of those people.
Yeah.
He's never going to be that. He's no, who's the biggest on there? You probably know.
Isn't it Ariana Grande? Maybe. Something like that.
See?
I'm good at trivia.
See? That's yeah. good. Good for her.
Good for
That's
her.
That's good. But like, does it make... I bet it doesn't yeah. really make her any happier.
Probably not. A few more questions for you.
Right.
And I haven't looked. What haven't you done yet that you'd really love to do? Because you've dabbled in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Murals, sculpture, apparel, products, books. You have 6 or 7 books now.
Lots of books.
Lots of books.
Oh, I brought some with me. That is Justin. Well done. Well done. So I gave a talk at my friend's architecture firm like a few months ago. I gave a little lecture about my work, and I brought some books with me, and I was like, how many should I bring? I brought about 10. Oh, yeah, people will buy them, you know, after I do my thing.
Yeah.
Zero. Sold zero. So I've scaled it back. I brought 3 books.
Okay? I'll buy them, and we'll give them to people.
All right, what's up to you? They are... $15.
Shit.
Well, $14.95.
Okay, I saved 15 cents. Great. I got that. I got that. We'll give them away later.
All right, that's very kind.
But your books are great. But so you've done this. You've done sculptures in Korea.
Let's read from the book. Yeah. I'm joking.
But you've done a lot of stuff
already.
I've
done a lot of stuff.
What haven't you done that you would really love to do?
Retire. I haven't made a TV show. I'd really like to do that. I've had stuff in development, but it's never been greenlit.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. That's actually, if the characters, if they graduate to a PDF that will ultimately be rejected by a top animation company, that's the highest they can ever hope
for. It's the highest honor
yeah,
in Burger World.
We don't want that on our TV screens. so I'm trying to do that. So I'd like to do that. Yeah, make a show. Some kind of thing. Like, I do a lot of things, and the Instagram stuff is a lot of fun, but it's very short, like, purposely short form.
Yeah.
I feel I would like to graduate and make longer form things.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, 30 seconds or 60 or something.
Yeah.
Or even a whole 5 minutes. That would be amazing.
That'd be fun. I feel like you could also do that on your own.
Yeah.
You don't need someone else's permission.
I mean, no one's really... I don't know if people are... Do you guys go on Instagram TV?
Isn't it funny? Everybody's just like, what is that? It pops up every time we go to Instagram. We're like,
thing. We already done the YouTube and we did Facebook and now there's another one. No,
none of us do.
So I put some episodes, I made a little show called John TV and I put that on Instagram TV and it has sat there. So it has taken up digital space. So some of those are a little bit longer. I keep making them. I think it's good learning for me to do that.
Well, it's good to experiment and see what goes out there.
Yeah.
I have one last question.
Should have bought more books.
Yeah, if you knew I was going to buy them.
I had no idea. I didn't think anyone was going to buy them. That's why I brought so few. All right.
Are you happy?
Generally, relatively, yes, completely.
Yeah.
We are all, I mean, for God's sake, I have my faculties, I have pretty much my health, I have a beautiful wife, I live here, there's so many cool people. Like, you go ups and downs, but generally, very happy, very lucky. So, yeah, yes.
Yes. And how do you feel right now?
Sweaty.
Even with that air conditioning, nice job.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for doing
this. Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks.
Yeah. So we're going to do a Q&A, and it's going to be on the podcast. So I've made the mistake in the past of doing a Q&A and not handing out the mic when people ask the questions. And then I had to dub it in after as if I were the person. And it's just, no, I didn't do the voice because that would have been really uncomfortable. So I'm going to bring this mic out to you if you have any questions for John.
This is like an American talk show thing.
Yeah, this is...
What would your talk show be called?
I'm Jerry Springer right now.
No, what would be your thing?
Have a good cry.
That's the name of your show?
Have a good cry? It would just be Have a Good Cry. I just get it out. I don't know what my show would be. It would be something stupid and that makes me laugh, but it's kind of real.
Okay.
Yeah. No bullshit. Anybody have any questions for John? If you ask a question, if you're one of the 3 people that ask a question and it's good.
It has to be a good question.
It has to be a good question. I'll be the judge of it. Well, maybe we'll consult.
And they have to say the title of the book in the question.
Yeah,
for the podcast.
It's great to create. We got to endorse it and say it's available on all fine booksellers. Over here on the couch, you might have to meet me in the middle.
Okay, so what pen were you using? And do you feel like certain pens like empower you in different ways than other pens?
Let's compare the pen that Justin was using.
Oh, it's so right? Like you just...
And now let's look at my pen. yeah, definitely. Pens have a little personality. This is a Posca pen by Uniball. You can find them in art stores. You can find them more regularly now than you ever used to in the US. When I moved here, I got rid of most of my possessions, and I came over with a couple of suitcases, and I had a couple of boxes of stuff shipped over. One of them was like a crate just of these pens, and I think I still have some that I'm working my way through. These are my favorite
pens. But they're finally being sold here.
Yeah, you can find them in art. They're often behind glass with a little lock. So you have to ask.
Oh, fancy!
I don't know why that is. Why? Is
do we wait? Hold on. Can we? Well,
yes.
Yeah. That was a
good question. Yeah,
good okay. One. Good question. Good. Here you go. Yeah, there you go. We're gonna go front row.
I like the colors they come in as well. They're good. Good. Look, a bit good pink. Oh. I'll put my little pink pen there. Okay.
Awesome! Thanks so much for everything tonight. What made you move to the US? And when you got here, how did you find your feet creatively?
Oh, that's a good question. I moved here because I was traveling. I was coming to the US on and off, like to New York for work in 97, 98, 90, no, not 90, 2008, 2009, that kind of period. Oh, jeez. I mean,
you
wish.
You look great for 65.
Yeah. Thanks. Moisturize. Or be with someone that moisturizes and just rub your face on theirs before bed. That's what I do when she falls asleep. Don't tell her. So I moved here just for fun. I mean, I moved here because I was doing work here, and every time I was here, I was having a great time. New York is fun. And then I was like going home, and I thought, why don't I just try and stay here? And I tried to, you know, I had a little list of places I would like to live. Because what I do, I can do anywhere, right? And in fact, most of us probably with a laptop and whatever can probably do whatever we need to do. So why stick to one place, right? Why not move somewhere else? And maybe I'll move somewhere. Like I've been here about 7, 8 years. Maybe I'll move somewhere else soon. So just for fun. I'm not really an outgoing, adventurous person. So it was a bit of a sort of a wrench to do it. But I thought, I've got to do it. It's like jogging. I don't want to do it. I've got to do it. Everyone's doing it. I should do it. So I did. And then when I got here, I was kind of burnt out from like 10 years of freelancing in the UK. So I thought, sort of in my head, I was like, I'm going to be on holiday for a bit. So I didn't get a studio or anything like that. And I just had fun for a little bit. I mean, I tried to do work. And it's, that you get forgotten about very, very quickly when you like stop doing stuff, which is kind of scary.
What do you think? So the shelf or the longest you could take off before everyone forgets who you are?
Like a weekend or something? No, I don't know. But I'd come somewhere new and I thought, oh, everyone's going to be so excited that a British person is here. And look, there's people from Birmingham already here. It's like not exciting at all. So I thought I'd be a big deal, and really no one gave a shit. So, and then I slowly have crawled my way back out. So it took a while. I don't know, it's tough. It's tough anywhere, but I think New York is particularly tough because it attracts so many talented people. So it's, but yeah, that's what they say.
It's almost a good ego check when you move here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I really like about New York, and that's what I want from, I don't want to be lauded or given mad props.
You don't want to be knighted. You don't want to be knighted.
I don't know. I don't want to be, because I'm not very good. So I like to come to New York when people are kind of tough. That's good. That's good for you in a way. A little bit.
You're very self-deprecating. Are there times where you go, okay, let me just give myself a little credit?
I like to do it, but if you were to do it, I'd be secretly offended. That's the double-edged sword. Wow. That was a good question.
That's a great question. Great question. We're going to go to the back, all the way in the back, but you're going to have to meet me halfway so we can get it on the podcast. By the way, season 2 of Overshare, we have a lot of great episodes. Find us on iTunes. You got to come closer. It doesn't only go so far. There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't mean to be Tim Ferriss over here, but if you were to put something in a billboard for you know, a startup or a entrepreneur, I know a lot of us are here, you know, entrepreneurs. What would you put in a billboard?
What would I put? Mm-hmm. You mean what would the image be?
Not the image, but just the words, a message that, you know, for somebody to get inspired. What would it be?
Oh, I would.
It has to be less than five words. Less than five words.
One, two, three. Yeah, look. It's, that's one word, great to create John Bergman. At John Bergman. That's what I put. Is that allowed?
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Here, he doesn't want the book.
You don't want the book? There you go. It's good.
Do you want the book?
There you go. We take more questions, but we don't have books.
Wait, it depends.
Let's give high fives.
It's great to create. Put that on the billboard.
It's great to create on a billboard.
Let me know when it's up.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just wondering what your, I don't know, what you would, a bit like advice you would give to like young creatives. What was like the main, other than like not caring what people think, which is very hard to do, what would you would say to young creatives who are just starting out? And I'm British. I was trying to wave at you earlier.
Where are you from?
I'm from St. Albans.
St. Albans, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Do you live here or are you visiting?
I lived in London and I moved here like 5 years ago.
All right. Oh, that's good. That's very good. You have a visa and everything, right? Okay.
Congratulations.
Okay. I shouldn't ask that. It's so vague. I don't know. Like, just give up and do something else. Because it creates more room for the rest of us. Don't give up. Don't give up. The only guarantee of not being successful in however you determine success is giving up. That's the only guarantee of things not happening, is you stop trying to make them happen. If you keep trying to make them happen, maybe it'll happen. You might get lucky, you might be a genius, it might just happen. So yeah, so if you're not having luck, good luck, or you feel it's been a bit tough, it's trite and cliched, but just keep going.
It is hard to not care what other people think.
Of course.
Especially when you're freelance, you're trying to get work, you're trying to get paid.
Do you want to buy these?
And you go, all the sticker packs.
These are $10. Oh. That's a bit cheaper than a book.
Holy shit.
But we could just give them out individually.
Yeah, okay, fine. You just make a
depends how much working not working's got. I had some.
I like, okay, so the advice is be a shrewd businessman. But I think it's hard when you're like either starting out or struggling, and you're trying to get hired and get paid, and you go, oh, I don't want to care what other people think, I'm just going to do my own thing. But you're like, but I need work, and I want people to pay me for the thing that I do. So, yeah, please, John.
I have a question. I mean, I care what people think.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like I don't care what anyone thinks. I mean, I care if you guys had a nice time today, or I care if you will ever speak to me again, or I care if people enjoy what I'm doing. Like, I care. I care a lot. Like, but it's important not to care too much, like to be too obsessive about it. Sometimes you make stuff and then it, like, maybe it wasn't your greatest thing, or maybe you didn't realize it wasn't your greatest, and it's not, it's okay. And like, you know, not to overweight these things. There's always, hopefully, there'll be a tomorrow and you can try again and you can do other stuff. It's not to like overweight
I think it probably goes both ways, right? And it's what you're saying is like, don't let the highs get too high.
Yeah.
Because then you get addicted to that.
Yeah.
And then the lows become even
lower.
That's
what I mean about like, you're only as, it's all against yourself, right? You know, it's only as, you can only be as good as you. So you can only compare yourself to what you feel your potential is and what you can do, not to other people. And like, maybe I'm just, you know, very middle of the road, very flat, you know, maybe that's as good as I can get, or maybe not. But like, not to be too obsessed, I guess, about people's feedback and things. And sometimes you just know when you've done something good and people tell you it isn't. And if you really believe it, go with it. Don't doubt yourself, I guess.
Also, you can't control what other people think.
No.
So you can think you're doing something great.
You try.
And then I want all of these people to like it. You have no control over that.
I mean, that's the really brilliant, another brilliant thing about putting stuff online, in a way, is that you put stuff out there and people will see whatever they want out of it and they'll reinterpret it. And you can't control. Yeah. And that's a good thing to sharpen your skills of, you know, visual communication. Like, oh, I'm trying to say this, but people are interpreting it as that. Where is that disconnect line? And that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can exploit that, and that's quite fun.
Yeah.
If you're a little bit naughty.
I think we have time for one more question.
Give a sticker. Do you want some stickers? I'll just have a bunch of stickers to the that British lady. Oh, look, they're stuck.
Here you go. Wow, this is a you give her the good bunch of
That's
stickers.
A watch.
Yeah, there you go. Time for one more question. One more question. And we'll be around after having drinks and
but the, you
double
cannot
dipping.
Ask us. There will be no questions being asked afterwards for just drinking. No. So if you had a question and you wanted it's too late, you should put your hand up. There'll be no fielding of questions afterwards.
Hello. So my question is: Do your characters have personalities and or emotions? And if so, which one is the most complex and your favorite one?
Well, that's really difficult. Yeah, they have emotions and feelings. Who has got this sticker? Who's in the audience and has got glam corn? You've got that. So you've got a glamorous corn, and he's really confident, and he doesn't need to be like all the other corns. Say again. It's a bit like a horoscope, and maybe now you can embody that if you want to. Who has got this sticker? That's friendly blob. And it's just a blob. It's a bit like a cloud, but it's not a cloud. It's a blob. And it's very amiable and cheery, and people like it. And it's like a friendly fog. People can fall into it and feel like they're in a lovely warm blanket that's made out of croissants. And that is friendly blob. So, yeah. This is exactly what I was saying. I don't know anything about friendly blob or glam corn, but when people ask me, that's when the characters get developed. Last one, who's got this guy or girl? Party witch. Yeah. Party witch loves to party. And that's all I know about her. All right, there you go. That's a good question.
John, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, John, for joining me and for forcing me to improvise. In hindsight, I actually do appreciate it. Also, John would be disappointed if I didn't point out that there are many, many more of his books for sale at fine book resellers. Is it resellers or sellers? Resellers. We'll call it resellers. Anyway, you can check out the links in the show notes to get yours. If you enjoyed this overshare, please subscribe to ensure you get our future episodes when they're released every 2 weeks. Also, rate and review us to help other people discover Overshare. Huge thanks to the team at Camp David for hosting us in their stunning membership workspace in Industry City in Brooklyn. If you are working from home all the time and you're tired of being so lonely and you feel like you're getting a little crazy, check them out. The space is incredible and there's a lot of really good people there. Also, thanks to Jared Nagel for recording the audio at the event. Thanks to Working Out Working's multi-talented designer, Gabby D'Amato, for editing this episode. And the Overshare theme song is Let It Grow by Caleb Groh. You can follow us on our brand new Overshare Instagram and Twitter channels at Overshare Talks to find more content and info about our live events. And we also have a private Facebook group at Overshare Talks as well. And if you'd like to learn more about Working Not Working and join as a creative or to hire amazing creatives, check us out at workingnotworking.com. That's all we've got for this episode, and we'll see you next time.